Welcome to Analytics Dynasty Patreon Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, AFC edition, snap reactions from week 14. Turning to the Baltimore Ravens, you had the drama-filled Lamar Jackson thing. The jokes got old quickly. Trace McSorley injured his knee, it looks like, there. So I believe he landed on IR. So that's one to watch for in terms of what a backup situation might look like to Lamar Jackson down the stretch here. I would say I don't think it much matters for fantasy because even if the person gets injured in week, or even if Lamar Jackson gets injured in week 15, you're probably not going to start him in a championship game, that backup. So maybe this is a situation where you can cut an RG3. That would be, you know, maybe something I would think about in terms of if you're trying to consolidate some roster spots, if you're trying to add someone off the free agent wire, for example, that would be a situation. You know, he basically got benched there for a period. He's a UDFA, or sorry, he's an unrestricted free agent. Excuse me. He's a high draft pick. Now he's an unrestricted free agent. So there's no guarantee he's back. So he might be one that I would let float back, and then you can add him back later on. Might be my play there. And then maybe hopefully McSorley can come back and be healthy and fight for a number two job, I think is really what you're looking for there. At the running back position, it is Gus Edwards. This is worth noting here for a second. Gus Edwards is a restricted free agent. Gus Edwards is actually behind Nick Chubb as the second best running back over expectation in the NFL. Full stop. That is a surprising stat. There's a lot of the narratives out there. Oh, he stinks. You know, when you sort of look at these stats, I think it's, you know, this is one of the things why analytics is important. It gets past some of the narratives. If you just sort of look at the numbers and really shape your opinion on someone. You look at their free agency stuff for next year. I mean, they have Mark Ingram under contract, and it's not outrageously expensive, but it's $6.3 million cap number. They can save five. They do have a lot of cap space. One of the benefits of having rookie quarterback, obviously, that helps. But they can open up some spots, and if they're going to sign Lamar Jackson, you know, maybe they can sort of feed that into some cap space or whatnot. But that's a situation where I think Mark Ingram is going to come back either on a reduced number or be cut. And if he does, Gus Edwards is really, really lucrative in a that's a very, very high-end one injury away situation. So I would expect that they tender him, and he's back there. So him and Dobbins is being a 1-2 punch with Lamar Jackson. That's pretty nice. Again, I think the upside's an overall concern for Dobbins. How much upside is there when their only combined total for the team this year, 43 targets? That is tough to, you know, and it's 22 of them are Dobbins. You say, okay, and, you know, I don't know if he cuts into Ingram's, and it's, I don't know, maybe it looks like 50. Maybe they can get him to like 50 targets, and, you know, that would help. But you're asking for a lot on the ground if you're only doing that. So that's a lot of the concern with Josh Jacobs, for example. So we really like the Josh Jacobs profile, but there's a question about the ultimate upside of it. I think that's really what you're going to face with Dobbins. So I think those are interesting comp guys for one another. The receiver position, it was funny, the discussion about Marquise Brown in game. You know, it was, oh, he's not, you know, he's got poo for hands, pun very much intended. Then he came up big kind of down the stretch. So pretty inefficient. He's their most efficient wide receiver. He's there just behind Andrews in terms of total efficiency by about 0.2 of a yard per route run. But he's ahead of everyone else. Again, it's not super high value. So 76 targets they have him credited for. And he's caught 20.5% of his routes run there. So again, he fits more in he's wide receiver 39. Again, if he's going to be the number one option, I think that's kind of where he slots in, right? You get kind of a wide receiver one who's non-prototypical on a run first offense, and they use him as a shot guy. I mean, that's kind of what what he fits in as. You know, that is not something that I think is going to go up in value, right? So that's just in terms of prognostication. He's wide receiver 44. So do I think he beats expectation on that? Yeah, you know. But then the question is, yeah, I think that's possible. But then you look at guys behind him like Corey Davis, much more plausible, right? Much more, that's not even really a defensible valuation, honestly, of Corey Davis at wide receiver 46, for example. But you look at some of the other guys behind him, like I think that's pretty appropriate in terms of Brown, for example. When you look ahead of him, there's some other guys up there that I think have wider ranges of outcomes. Including higher ones too, so and lower ones, right? That's just wider. But I don't know if Marquise Brown's going to win you a ton of games, and you know, can you sort of package him, move him for people that sort of like the wide receiver one, first round pedigree type scenario with him? I just question if the upside is wide receiver like 30, the best he's ever going to give you, and if that's the case, that's. Something that you can replicate in other ways. Mark Andrews, I still think he's up there in terms of elite guys in the league. Again, you wish it was just more evaluation. He's wide, tight end 6 on the season. Did miss a couple games there. That COVID stuff was scary with him with that diabetes. So was very nervous about that. Glad he got through it, got back. Big performance there in that thrilling Monday night game. So I like him up at the top. Again, I think if I were to sort of do it right now and do it in a startup, I'm taking Hockenson over Andrews. But I think Andrews is probably, you know, if that puts him at tight end 4, tight end 5, something in that range, that's absolutely appropriate. All right, turning to the Buffalo Bills. You know, Josh Allen, absolutely an absolute stud is really the diagnosis this year. What I would say is this. I think Stephon Diggs is a big help. I think you get weapons around your guy, that helps, right? Has he taken noticeable step forward? Yes. I think I've watched probably twice, at least twice. I've watched every snap of his career. And I will say, and I was writing him up for Football Guys. This is a much different player. Absolutely a different player. This is not the player from his rookie year. It's not the player from last year. Absolutely a different player. How great do you feel about that? Right when I tell you that it's a different player, the first 22 years of his life he was a different player, and now this year is different. Does that make you feel good or does that make you feel nervous? Because I could see both sides of it. I would take him over Lamar Jackson. That's what I would do. But when you look at it, I was looking at some of the stuff. You look at some of these expected points added, those sorts of stats. He didn't even rank in the, I was like a top 6 or 5 or 8 or something of guys who got their value on the ground. At quarterbacks, what percentage of their expected points added is on the ground? He didn't even qualify. Think about that for a second, right? That he wasn't even one of the top guys. He's a top 6 quarterback this year, and he wasn't even one of the top 5-6 guys in his production on the ground in terms of overall winning stuff. And he does have 6 rushing touchdowns. It's a little bit different from fantasy, but if I were to tell you, like, hey, Josh Allen's going to be, he's probably not going to win the MVP, but he's going to be, like, it's not an unreasonable statement to say that he should be in the conversation. But he's not going to qualify as being like one of the highest expected points added guys in terms of rushing. Like, you would not believe me. Like, there's no, that wasn't even in a range of outcomes because you would have had to have thought he would have been just enormous on the ground. Again, he's 11 touchdowns behind Rodgers. Rodgers is one of the best to ever do it. And Allen is certainly very good right now, but those are different stratospheres. But again, the rushing touchdown 6-2 put him up ahead of and the yardage too, really put him up ahead of Rodgers here in the default scoring over at Football Guys. So that's just a thing to note. Like, he's very close with Kyler Murray. again, just when you look at this number, how does this make you feel? 7.73 yards per attempt, 7.01 yards per attempt. That's the difference between Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. 0.7 yards per attempt. Basically three quarters of a yard better per throw. When I look at Murray, it's 712 rushing yards through 13 games. So he's not quite, you know, he's not on pace for 1,000 yards, but you know, high 800, low 900, certainly in the range of outcomes. 10 rushing touchdowns. And, you know, 23 passing touchdowns. They're about the same volume. And Allen's thrown for more than 400 yards more than him. And just when you, and 13 more touchdowns. Five more passing touchdowns. So you sort of look at that. I just I wonder, you know, I did a poll and it was like, who's the better passer? And it was, the answer was Josh Allen. And I said, who's the better future passer? And it was closer. You know, I would say Josh Allen, huge step from year two to year three. Is he maybe somewhere in between there? Is his true value? Yeah, maybe. But that's still a ways for Kyler Murray to go, right? He still has to go up. So I would say I think that's just a notable comparison there when you sort of look at these guys. And again, it's a year difference. So if you're deciding between age at 24 and 23 years old, you're doing it wrong at quarterback. But I don't think it's an unreasonable thing. And Murray's at quarterback. I mean, and even at the cost, right? Murray's at quarterback two, and you know, Lamar Jackson's at quarterback three, and Josh Allen's at quarterback seven, right? And maybe in Superflex that's not that big of a gap, but when you look at the start one stuff, that is basically four round gap. And so you just say, is that appropriate? I give me the guy that's going four rounds later. Again, is it a round in Superflex? You know, it's probably not a round in Superflex. So that's a little bit different of a conversation. But you know, you can get the receivers that you might get there might be totally different profiles. So that would just be a thing I would say, you know, that's an arbitrage opportunity to absolutely exploit. Wide receiver situation's notable. Beasley, I think, is playable. Diggs is just an absolute rock star. That dude is just, he's 136 targets so far. That's according to Football Guys. It's 130 over at Pro Football Focus. Again, they have a lesser number because they exclude some like throwaways that are sort of directionally at Diggs. They don't consider that a true target, where some of the other services count that. So you get a little bit, their numbers are always less than any other numbers just because they don't count some of those as actually official targets. But targeted on 25.7% of his routes, that's a lot. You know, 2.31 yards per route run, that's very, very good. But again, it's five touchdowns, right? So even when you look at it, you're like, okay, this is a guy who's on pace for like a 1,300 yard season with only five touchdowns. That's something that you feel really good about, his ability to continue to do that, because he has a fail safe, right? He can score more touchdowns in a season that sort of masks a little regression in other places. Where it's dangerous is when you take the guy that's, you know, got a 12% touchdown rate, you know, Kenny Galladay from some of those years. Like if that doesn't happen, it's can be a quickly go really, really bad. With Diggs's profile at this point, you feel much, much safer. So John Brown's cuttable in the offseason. I think they probably reduce his number and bring him back. I mean, I think that's fine for them to do. He could be cut, I guess, if he doesn't want to take a number that's lower than what he's at. But just in some of the injury stuff, and now they have an answer, like, I'll never say John Brown's expendable because I love the guy, but I do think the contract's one that you could say, all right, does this really make sense for us to pay John Brown, you know, what we're going to pay him when we've got Beasley and we've got, you know, we've got Diggs and you know, we've got Gabriel Davis is coming on, you know, all of those things. You're like, do we really need to pay John Brown, you know, what we're going to pay him? That is, you know, it's 9.75 million. You can save eight, right? So maybe you cut it, maybe you reduce the number, say, hey, take a pay cut and, you know, and we'll keep you. Otherwise we're going to have to cut you. We got to create some cap space. I think that's reasonable. And that would be, you know, that would still help Josh Allen. So I think that's one to watch for. Gabriel Davis is one that, you know, people are pretty high on. I was pretty high on too. And I just sort of broke down a little bit of his numbers and I'm backing away from that a little bit. Six touchdowns on 48 receptions. So just screaming touchdown rate, only 1.2 yards per route run. So that's a glaringly, absolutely, divergent profile. So that's one that I would say, trust the yards per route run much more than the touchdowns. So he would be one that I'm going to sell, right? So I was actually on him a bit. I am a little bit less confident in him than I was sort of diving into these numbers. So it's one of the values of these shows. It forces me to be honest and, you know, to really think about these guys a little bit more. And that's one that I would say, like, that's a clear sell situation. So Dawson Knox is back playing a little bit. They had the COVID thing. I mean, it's essentially been a lost year for him. Very inefficient. I'll say, like, if he's out there, I think he's interesting in sort of like these safe leagues, for example. Like, I saw him pop up. I added him. And my reason for it is this. He offers a different type of player than they have in their offense. He's kind of a bigger body guy. He offers some physicality, right? So he can do some different things than their offense is. You know, is that someone that's ever going to post like a top 10 season? Maybe not, but he was good last year. We were hoping for growth. Didn't happen. A lot of other things going on. And, you know, maybe he's a guy that can actually develop with a full, healthy offseason and one that he can actually get in the building and work on some stuff, because you know, he has some tools, but I think is sort of a raw talent still at this point. So I'm not giving up hope, but I am taking, I think he's more roster end of roster material than he is like tight end two on your depth chart, for example. Turning to the Cleveland Browns, the aforementioned the game with Lamar Jackson there, some of that stuff. I would say I think there's a potential. I saw Andrew Berry, their I don't know if he's president, he's their decision maker. I don't know what his official title is. He's on a podcast to listen to, just specifically to hear him. And he was talking about some of the decisions and stuff. He was equivocated a bit on Odell Beckham Jr., kind of gave a non-answer about him. So I do think it's going to be tough for them to get out of him than cut him. Basically before some of his guarantees comes in, because he's hurt and probably won't be able to clear physical before then. So that would be the situation to watch for. I thought he was good as cut coming into 2021. I don't think that's as much the case now. He has, like I said, the cap number is 15.75, basically 15 and three quarters is his cap number. So that's the highest on their team. All of it's can be cut and saved. All of that is cap savings. So with him being injured, I'm not sure, you know, I think there's guarantees in there and stuff, triggers, you know, roster bonuses, all that sort of stuff, and guarantees. So they might not be able to cut him and in the offseason quite like I thought that they might be able to. So, you know, is he a trade candidate? You know, is that something that's a workable number there, I would think, because of they can, you know, it's cuttable. So is when he can pass a physical. So I would imagine there that it's something that could be attractive if other teams are interested. But again, he's been kind of a headache. I'm not sure that's there. I'll say this, like, if you're just going to sort of look at it and be like, all right, listen, wide receivers in the second round of rookie drafts go at like 30%, right? Like, who's got a better chance of hitting in their career? Random second round rookie pick or Odell Beckham Jr.? Okay. Gonna go with Odell Beckham Jr. I will say, I think it's, you know, he's fading. And as I'm sort of looking at more of these, some more of these stats for the startup drafts, I'll say, like, guys that missed the first year, it really drops their hit rate in terms of what you would expect based on their, you know, their base rate of starter rate. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of, the arc is not going in a positive direction, but can he come back, be healthy and play, and, you know, be a 110, 120 target guy? I still think that's in his range of outcomes. And if you're sort of bailing on him for a second, right? I mean, I get why you would do that. But I still think that he offers more upside than that pick does, even though it's a headache. Austin Hooper's been a pretty clear disappointment, but he's locked in the contract next year. David Joku is on that fifth-year option as well. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with him. Maybe he's a trade guy. I don't know. I don't really – there's not a ton of value there. I would love to see him on a second contract. They're basically the same on a route run basis. Hooper's run twice as many routes as him. So that's essentially the difference in who they are at this point. Feels like wasted money, honestly, for Cleveland with what they did with bringing in Austin Hooper. So sometimes we think, hey, situations can really change and be positive. This is an example of one that, frankly, hasn't been great. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, both should be back next year, so you feel good about that. Some of the lack of, I mean, Chubb's been, in terms of over expectation, just absolute monster. You're just kind of disappointed in the lack of the passing game involvement, really. But outside of that, I mean, Rashad Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones are guys that are sort of there at the wide receiver spot. I continue to like Jarvis Landry. I think he's probably back next year. You know, they could potentially try and cut his contract, I guess, but he still has some portion of it is still it would be dead money. You know, maybe they reduce him, extend him, restructure him, something like that. But I think the most likely answer is that he's back. Cincinnati Bengals, you know, AJ Green has been just an absolute disappointment, so that's pretty notable there. You know, it's really Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins as we look forward here. John Ross, the failure of John Ross, he'll be a free agent. You know, look to see what happens with him. You know, maybe he's a reclamation project guy in kind of like a Philip Dorsett sense. That would be a situation to watch for. Drew Sample's been pretty low volume, but he should come into next year. And he gets back, Burrow, yeah, maybe the offense will perform a little bit better. He can maybe do something on like the tight end 2 radar. Be kind of interesting. Giovanni Bernard, this past week got benched after he fumbled. It was just kind of a stupid situation. kind of disappointing there for a first round bye. He did come back in. Travion Williams should be definitely added. Just in the off chance that, you know, they decide to move on from Gio in the offseason, they still have him under contract, but could potentially, if they wanted to, move on from him. You know, create some more cap space. They're going to be without AJ Green. Gio they're only committed to $250,000 next year, and they could save 4.1 by cutting him. So, you know, that's a situation that they could definitely look to move on from there, save some money. I would note that he is a captain, so there's a possibility there that they hold him. But Travion Williams is much cheaper, right? So that would be a situation I think to watch for. I would scoop up any shares of him that are out there, and you could just pick up for free or something like that. He might be available in some shallower leagues. And just as a look-see, right? That would be the situation. We don't really know what the deal with Mixon is. So that's just a free insurance policy. And if we get to August and, you know, it's a blocked backfield, something like that, you can cut him. So I wouldn't expect AJ Green back. You know, there's positive buzz here out of the receivers. And it's, you know, it is T. Higgins and it is Tyler Boyd. Both above efficiency wide receivers, so that's good. Higgins has been fractionally more, so they're essentially the same in terms of production, and amongst the best on their team, the top two guys with any real volume there. So that's good. You know, it'll be a good situation for Burrow to come back into. And both of them top 30 plays right now. So Tyler Boyd really feels like a kind of like a discount Jarvis Landry type from a couple years ago, right? On that sort of same track. So he's going to be one if I'm building a, you know, wide receiver three, wide receiver four, and he's in that range. I think that's an interesting opportunity. I've never really been a huge fan, but I'm really coming around on that type of profile. So that would be one that I would really, really come around on. So it'd be interesting to see where he is in drafts in the offseason. He is presently, just to give you an idea, wide receiver 26 in startup valuation. So it doesn't really feel like you're getting that much of a discount. You know, he's behind Deontay Johnson, Kenny Galladay, Chase Claypool, for example, right behind Cooper Kupp. But Cooper Kupp and Tyler Boyd kind of feel like similar players at this point. So it's notable that they're pretty close in valuation. But yeah, and I mean, he's going ahead of Tyler Lockett. So I guess I would say I think it's a fair evaluation. If he's going to fall more, I think that could be a notable one there. But he's going ahead of like Julio Jones, which is fascinating. Okay, and then Higgins himself is going at wide receiver 11. So again, if you're looking for an arbitrage opportunity, that appears to be one. Okay, that's pretty much Cincinnati. Turning next to the Denver Broncos, I think we're going to maybe be looking at a new quarterback situation. Drew Lock's, I don't know, I think Drew Lock's pretty disappointing. I'm not a huge fan of his. The touchdown rate's not, you know, the interception rate's high, the yards per attempt's low. I mean, even if you believe in completion percentage, that's low. You know, he's kind of a knucklehead, is, you know, with some of the stuff he's got going on. I don't know how they fix it would be the flip side of that. You know, they're 13th in terms of draft order. So I'm not exactly sure how they fix it. So that would be my concern there is I don't know how it gets better. I think it's possible it gets better. I think it's unlikely that he's a long-term guy. I don't know if they have a clear answer. So we'll see. I mean, Jameis Winston in this offense would be just outlandish, but that'd be really attractive for fantasy. But Drew Lock's just not going to open that ceiling up. Tim Patrick's a guy that's really come on. You know, he's basically in the past three games, 100 yards or a touchdown, multiple touchdowns in week 13. You know, so I think it's when Judy really gets rolling, when Hamler really gets rolling, when Sutton comes back, right? Those situations can, hey, they look really good for a season, and then you sort of don't survive an off season, kind of like the Cameron Meredith example from years past. Noah Fant, again, the offense needs a quarterback, but they have plenty of weapons. So that would sort of be the thing that I would say. Royce Freeman is, I look back at the draft class and I think like I have to keep going back to that draft class and just thinking more and more about it. And again, was taking him over DJ Moore. Like, I just love the profile so much in the third round pedigree compared to the first round wide receiver. Like, I like both profiles. I go back and I think about that class and about how maybe that's a learning experience that we should definitely draw from. That was a mistake. And honestly, it went like it. I mean, if it wasn't for Wolf, if it wasn't for Phillip Lindsay, would he be in a different situation? Right. I mean, did he just draw bad? I don't know. That's definitely one that I think about though. So he is under contract for next year. Maybe he's, I'm not sure he makes the roster, you know, maybe he's a trade guy, something like that. I would hold out hope for other, greener pastures here in the off season. I would check if he's on waiver wires, right? He's one that I would be interested in holding into the off season just on spec. Right. So that's one there. I'm pretty interested in Hamler, as a discount guy. He's been one of the interesting guys from this class in terms of just pure discounts. Just the pedigree is going like third round rookie drafts, like yes, smash that. You know, some of his efficiency stuff, it's kind of low. He's behind Judy by a pretty, pretty robust number, 0.3 yards per route run. So that's a pretty big difference. But he's flashed. So again, if he's going to be, if he's going to be sort of in that 60-70 startup valuation, yeah, we're on that, right? If he's going to rise up into the 40s, we're probably selling it. So that would be the thought. I had someone try to pitch me that he was a better profile than Judy recently. I you can't really do that. Just from a hit rate profiles, all that perspective, and he's not right now. Right? If he was smashing him in a stat, we could say that, but he's just not. So, so I'm a little tepid on that. You know, so it does give me some wonder though, if when Sutton comes back, I mean, if they get a new quarterback, what this offense has got all sorts of weapons. It's a really, really interesting offense if they could get some quarterback play. All right, turning next to the Houston Texans, and really up in the air here. I've heard conflicting reports. I actually saw, they want Will Fuller back, was like the quote, and it was not even what the article said, and it was just someone speculating. So, I don't know. I think Will Fuller is going to get paid, would be my guess. And I think that there's people that value him is also my guess. So we'll watch for it. Brandon Cooks can be back. I mean, they could cut Brandon Cooks really at any time and save the cash. I'm not sure why they'd want to necessarily do that unless they're going to go full tank. But you know, they kind of need someone to throw the ball to, and he's been above average good for them, right? I mean, he's at wide receiver 32 on the year. That's fine. 82 targets in 12 games. It's a little bit lower than you'd hope for. But I think he was like banged up at the beginning of season two. I think he missed a game maybe and got up to a little bit of a slow start. But 1.82 yards per route run, like you'll absolutely take that. Will Fuller's at 2.28, right? So that's a big time difference there. And Will Fuller's got the 8 touchdowns, but Brandon Cooks is kind of like a solid guy, and maybe he's not necessarily a wide receiver one. You know, maybe that's not what you're shooting for, but I mean, I don't know if they're going to get a wide receiver one here. Those guys aren't easy to come by, and we sort of know what Fuller is. So, or we know what Cooks is. So yeah, I mean, I think if he's back here, which he should, he can be really interesting value. He's a deep discount guy too. I mean, he's hit the point of his career where he's going to outproduce his valuation. So wide receiver 45, like, yeah, he's probably going to outproduce that. And so you just like, okay, it's not that attractive to other people. Well, I think other people are inefficient. So that's really my take on those. Jordan Akins is a guy that's played, 50% or so of snaps here down the stretch at some pedigree at tight end. It's low efficiency, but maybe he progresses next year. Darren Fells is under contract next year as well. It's a pretty low number, so I think they could bring him back. They could cut him and save some space too. I think this team's going to be interesting from like a directional perspective. They could save a lot of money if they sort of wanted to, not necessarily going to say go into the tank, but to rebuild. Like they could save, they could save 30, 40 million pretty easily in terms of creating some space. So that it's all going to be very interesting to watch with that. The tight end situation there. Kahale Waring is another deeper name. Star-crossed start to his career. But day two pedigree. So you take a look at that. And again, it's a stash thing in 28, 30 man, something like that. I think you can get away with that. All right, Indianapolis Colts. David Johnson looks like he's going to be back this week again to play. So on the lookout there for him. Coming off the COVID list, he was a high risk contact, but not positive. So he didn't test positive, but was on the list for contact tracing purposes there. So should play here. They're an interesting. They're an interesting matchup this week against Indy. It's on the road, so you don't feel great about it. It's more of a running back two type spectrum there for him, even if he plays. Indianapolis Colts, I've been pretty impressed by some of the stats out of Rivers. Again, I think he's one that it's pretty undervalued, underappreciated at this point, and I don't know what their ultimate ceiling is, but I think they're a pretty good team. And you know, when you sort of look at that, right, in a kind of a crazy year, they've got a really good defense. They've got a quarterback that's, you know, I would say like north of average in terms of quarterbacks in the, you know, maybe about average at quarterbacks in the AFC. And, you know, can, you know, he's, in terms of starters, he's at or just above average in terms of like the ELO rating, for example. Yeah, I mean, can that a team like that get really far? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting watch. They're a home favorite here, so it's a Jonathan Taylor special. Excited about Taylor really closing out the season. I was asked this week, and I don't know the answer to this. It's going to be an interesting. I think I could come up with maybe three different answers. Who's the most expensive running back from the 2020 class in the 2021 startup drafts, right? So who from what rookie is basically at running back is the most expensive? I think there's three plausible answers: DeAndre Swift, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Taylor and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I think Taylor's in that range of outcomes. Had that monster game, that monster rush this past week. So I'm pretty excited about him going forward. I think that there's untapped potential for sure. He's a very good receiving running back. And honestly, Phil Rivers is like the perfect quarterback for him. Honestly, it's I'm hoping for him to come back. Rivers is a free agent. So is notably Brissett. So, you know, we'll see what that whole situation looks like. I think there could be a potential player for Stafford, for example. This would be a landing spot that I would think would make a lot of sense for both Stafford and the Colts if Philip Rivers were to retire. But I'm not worried about, you know, if Rivers comes back, I feel pretty confident in what he can do for this offense. Some of the other guys are a question. You know, Hilton's a free agent. You know, so they could be in a little bit of a transition, but they have a lot of good pieces too. So I sort of look at that. If they bring Philip Rivers back, it's a reasonable number. They still have some cap space. Could they go bring in a guy like Allen Robinson? Could they? I do think there's like some things that they could absolutely do to juice up this offense. It's a really interesting spot with them going forward. I think they have a lot of flexibility, which honestly, and like this is the perfect year to have it, and because you can be in a very powerful position when you have some flexibility. But their GM, Chris Ballard, he's one of the better ones. $66 million next year. Again, they have to pay some people, but you know, you're clearing the books of T.Y. Hilton's contract. You're clearing it of Brissett's, right? They've done really smart things, and they're gonna have to pay Darius Leonard, for example. They're gonna have to pay some guys, but yeah, it's certainly an interesting landing spot about quarterback and sort of what can be there. Michael Pittman, does he take a step? Paris Campbell, a couple guys there that maybe we're looking to take steps. Paris Campbell's been a little bit of a lost start to his career. You know, and that's kind of what we're looking at. You know, is this a scenario where they can get a wide receiver one in here under the cap space? Absolutely. And if they did that with either Rivers or a Stafford type at quarterback, like this team could win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, definitely a situation to watch for. Tight end spot, I would say Jack Doyle's a cuttable situation, so that's just one to note there. I don't think they have a clear answer. Like they've got Trey Burton. They also have Mo Alie-Cox. Like, I don't think they have a clear answer. It wouldn't shock me if they address the position, for example, you know, in the draft or something like that as well. So just be on the lookout. I think that they could add weapons, and this team could look a little bit different next year. I think it's pretty high value for Taylor, and I don't think it's going to be worse than this, if that makes any sense. Okay, turning next to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, they're in the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields sweepstakes, so we're on the lookout for that. You know, I think DJ Shark, I saw that notably this week that he's averages over 100 air yards per game. The guys that have done that, they're all extremely high scorers, and DJ Shark is not. So that was a notable like regression type thing. I think it was even on a per game basis too. Might have been total numbers. He has missed some time, but that there was only like five or six of them. So that's this could be a scenario where you're looking at like basically the best wide receiver in a bad situation. If you get a guy like Fields, you get a guy like Lawrence, they can really elevate, right? That would be an interesting look there for him. So he's a guy that I am going to be pretty intrigued by his off-season cost. And he might be a little bit less sex appeal than some of the up-and-comers, for example. Like he's at wide receiver 30. I think that's probably a fair valuation. He's behind Rager and Ayuk. You would take him over like Rager, for example, just from a density perspective type thing. But I mean, it's funny because when you go into like that fifth round of, and this is start one, so it'll be a little bit later in Superflex. If you go into that fifth round, it's like Lockett, Ayuk, Rager, and Shark. Like, all right, let's get 5 fifth rounders and make myself a wide receiving core out of those. Out of the guys there, Woods is in there too. Kopp, I mean, it's his Boyd. Like I could just give me the wide receivers in the fifth round, and we'll figure it out. That's actually really interesting there. So yeah. So there's a lot of sameness, but I would think like as part of a general strategy, he could certainly fit it. Outside of that, nothing really much to write home about. Robinson's going to be an interesting watch. I wouldn't have him much more than like I think he's not single digits for me. I think he's somewhere in the teens, like that 10 to 15 range. I think you can make arguments for guys in that range. If Dobbins, Taylor, I don't think Swift's going to be in that conversation, but Akers, if they all close quickly, I think Swift is above that. I think they are going to have to slot in above Robinson. Just career arcs and you know, pedigree, base rate wise, all that stuff. Like you just, that looks a lot better for the better picks, I should say there. So that would be the thought. One thing I would worry about with Robinson, like you have Ozigbo, they have used him not once on the ground this year. The only guys to have carries are Agumba Wale has two, Chris Thompson and James Robinson. So he's been an absolute workhorse. I think they're going to have to bring somebody in. And if they do that, is that person with pedigree, right? Is that person certainly going to be making more money than Robinson? I that gives me pause because I just don't know if they can go into the season with this depth chart. And once you start messing with the depth chart, it becomes less secure for James Robinson. So I would just be the caution that I would just put on that situation. You know, and then outside of that, I mean, I really think it's Shark and then Chenault, you know, Chenault's interesting as well. But he, you know, I wasn't really a huge fan of his and those gadget guys, like that's nice and it's fun to watch, but from a fantasy perspective, it's just a clear avoid for me. Because they're largely headaches, is what I would say. And, yeah, I mean, he's got 55 targets on the season. Like it just doesn't do enough for me. And he's about as efficient as DJ Shark. So that's where it's at. But I do think like Shark's got 25 more targets than he does. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. All right. Turning next to the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Mahomes. It's Hill. It's Kelsey. It's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. After that, right, that's the pecking order for him. You know, I've made my feelings clear on him. I can still, at the same time, think that he's going to be a value in startup drafts. You know, if he's going to go in around running back 10, something like that, like there's a tier in there that he could go after. Like, yeah, I think that's actually pretty interesting. So, you know, in trades, like I would actually peruse him in trade valuation, right? That would be the first salvo in terms of day one guy, 21 years old, top 24 on his resume. Really good profile, right? So if you sort of you're like, oh, well, it's disappointing season. Like, yeah, it's disappointing season. That actually creates the opportunity to buy low on him, right? Because the people that bought him thinking he was going to be the next coming of Christian McCaffrey misunderstood the situation. That doesn't mean that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not valuable. It just means that person overpaid for him.
It creates actually a buying opportunity there. Le'Veon Bell's a free agent. Darrell Williams is a restricted free agent, so he could be back. I think that's pretty reasonable. He's a sneaky one. If he's out there, I would, for nothing, I would definitely be interested and open to him as a stash guy. I think that's a good one. DeMarcus Robinson is a free agent. You know what? Maybe he has some room to go someplace else, almost in like a Breshad Perriman type of contract situation. Not that he'll get paid as much, but sort of could fit into a more open depth chart. That would be something I would watch for. I do think the whole narrative on the receiving core that it's going to be Mecole Hardman and all this stuff, like that really hasn't come in. That hasn't really borne any fruit. So, and he's been pretty, he's actually upticked in efficiency some, but it's really low volume. So I would just say with him, like, I doubt that he's going to be the answer to anything, right? I doubt that that's the deal. Is he going to see a couple upticks? Sure. Is he going to see a couple big games? I'm sure. But ultimately, I just don't think that, I just don't think he's all that valuable for fantasy. So that's pretty much the situation there. And obviously Kelce, he's first ballot Hall of Famer. Don't think about it much otherwise. The Chargers, they're playing in the Vegas. They're actually playing as I'm recording right now. Allen's healthy. Mike Williams can be a free agent here. Be watching for that, sort of how that all boils down. Jacobs actually caught a pass. So that's a notable feature to tonight's game. Eckler's back. I mean, a situation I'm watching for is backup running back here. Hunter Henry's a free agent. So they do have Donald Parham. So if he's available, right, maybe that's a stash heading into the offseason. Donald Parham, especially in like deeper tight end premium leagues. He's I believe the XFL guy or the one of those developmental leagues that was in vogue like a year ago. He was from one of those. So he's one that maybe, Heck could fit into a better situation next year just in terms of opportunity. That would be an uptick guy I'd look for. Mike Williams, like I said, he's going to be an interesting situation in terms of what his market value is. I'm not sure that it's going to be super high. I do think he's hurt himself in terms of the hurting himself, really. I mean, that's a lot of what it is, and he just hasn't really put it all together. Does that mean that he couldn't go someplace and resurrect his career a bit? I think that's possible. I would just say from a career arc perspective, that just typically isn't what happens with guys that get huge, huge pedigree, high pedigree guys. Once they leave, they typically don't get anything near that because they've established that they've busted is really what it is. So you see guys that on second contracts that get big deals. I mean, Aguilar might be an exception to this rule. That's certainly possible. That would sort of be the scenario that you would look for. But the exceptions to the rule really have been day two guys. So Robert Woods and Golden Tate, those types. It hasn't really been guys that have gotten huge opportunities and then proven that they can't play. So that would just be the caution that I would have with them. And then outside of that, I mean, it's I don't really have any like favorites or anything at the good feelings or anything like that at the receiving position. I think it's Allen. And then you're sort of, trying to figure out what else is there. Tyron Johnson has had a big couple weeks here, but, the low pedigree, you're not really writing home about that. I think backup running back situation is interesting in terms of like Kelly and Ballage. If I had Ballage, I'd hold him. I'd hold him into the offseason just for a look-see of what happens. And, if it comes August and he's not the one injury away guy, you can cut him. But he has gotten some of those opportunities. So I think that's something that you certainly Josh Kelly hasn't blown anyone away. So I think that Kalen Blash could stick. The Raiders, aforementioned Nelson Aguilar, I mean, he leads them in targets at the wide receiver position, second on the team behind Darren Waller. Hunter Renfro's up there second behind Aguilar. Ruggs is pretty low volume. Brian Edwards is back to playing. But again, like sometimes you take these guys and think, hey, you know, he dropped and he's going to be pretty valuable and third rounds of rookie drafts and all that stuff. But now he's playing like about a quarter of snaps. You just don't feel great about that. And it's a little bit of a disappointing situation there with him. So you just see a reclamation project get more opportunities than the fresh day two prospect. Just a notable thing there. You know, that's just why I'm not by and large in on day two wide receivers outside of extreme situations. And he's one of them, you know. So he would have been one that I would have, there was just too many other targets in his range, but I would have liked the profile enough to say, okay. And then a tight end, Darren Waller, obviously, he's a monster. Foster Moreau has seen some snaps here. He actually looked good. I saw him make a couple plays last couple weeks here. So he's one that, you know, as a backup to Waller, I think is interesting. He has not been the model of longevity in terms of playing. You know, has he been good recently? Yeah. Has he fought through some inner demons? Yeah. Has he sort of gotten those together? Yeah, he has. And we root for that. But, you know, I think that if there's concern there that you know, could foster, that could resurface, right? And Moreau's a guy who's played, you know, decent to start his career, even though he's been largely blocked. So that would be a situation, just a deeper one to monitor if he's out there interested in adding and stashing him at a roster spot. Jacobs I really like still. Nothing really news there. And I'm holding Devontae Booker through the offseason. Okay, Miami Dolphins, Tua, good start, not great start. I guess we'll go with that. Gaskin is one of the more fascinating situations. Lynn Bowden's actually playing more too. So that's, you know, that's a notable uptick. If he's out there on lineups or anything, I mean, he's worth a stash for sure. The day two pedigree, we'll see position wise really where he ends up falling in. But he's seeing an uptick. Devontae Parker, a little bit of a disappointment this year after the breakout year last year. Gesicki's hurt. He's banged up, so just watch for that. I actually have added Adam Shaheen to the deep end of some tight end premium rosters just because I like the profile. They extended him. So, you know, you've got to get some longevity there. And when you see players get extended, even though they haven't really done much, it gives me some optimism about going forward that the team sees stuff that they like that we just don't see. So I think that has to speak to you a bit. Tua, I would just be careful on Tua's cost. Again, if there's going to be a huge spread that opens up between him and Herbert, it's probably the right bet, right? That's really the deal that I would go with there. Patriots are going to be interesting in the offseason. There's basically no one at wide receiver that's particularly interesting. If Devin Asiasi or Dalton Keene are out there as day two tight ends, you know, I would add them. They have been, so that's something to, you know, they have been out there, so that's something that's not a, that's a non, it's a non-zero chance that they're actually out there. So that would be something I'm looking for. The wide receiver position is pretty much lost. I'm not, I'm pretty concerned about where N'Keal Harry is at this point in his career. We'll see what happens with Julian Edelman if he can resurrect his career at this point. He's on the older side right now. They just don't have good weapons. And it's interesting that when Brady leaves, they get sort of exposed for not having good weapons. Brady elevated them before. Cam can't do that. And this is sort of what happens. Burkhead, James White, both free agents. Damian Harris has notably played ahead of Sony Michel the past, since Michelle's been back the past 3 weeks. Harris, I think he has receiving upside next year. So that's really one that I would say, hey, listen, if there's a guy that could actually see an uptick in other stuff that he does well coming into the NFL, like he's a guy that I could see having a bigger role in the receiving game and if it's not a running quarterback, could actually see some goal line stuff. And, you know, that would certainly improve his production and value profile. So I've liked what I've seen so far to Damian Harris. And outside of that, I mean, it's a pretty bad situation. So Harris and the running backs, or Harris and the tight ends, I would say super deep. If you want to go Michelle, like, you know, late teens, something like that. I think that's fine, but that's really where I would think of him at. The only team that's maybe as bad or worse, the Jets. I mean, there's really nothing here at running back. You know, Ty Johnson's playing a little bit. They're still playing Frank Gore. Josh Adams is playing a little bit. I mean, I guess maybe if you wanted to stash Ty Johnson or Josh Adams, something like that. I just think this team's going to see a full makeover in the offseason, and then you're not really going to be caring about these guys. So I think that's the most likely outcome. Perriman, Crowder, right? It's going to be Mims next year. You know, the quarterback situation's probably going to be better. What do they do with Darnold? Do they trade him? Is there a buyer's market? I mean, this is going to be just a situation to watch for. They're just pretty much dead on the vine at tight end. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's pretty bad. So it's pretty bad. I think there is going to be opportunity there for a guy like Mims, though, to potentially be an uptick guy, you know, in seasons going forward, right? Because, I just don't think that Perriman's really an answer, and Crowder's fine, but he is what he is, and he's not really any sort of dominant force. I think Mims' profile was pretty interesting coming in, and I think he has the most upside in that situation. But again, you got to stay over your skis with these values on some of these guys. Mims is at wide receiver 34. I mean, I think you're probably not in on that, right? And that's just the, you know, I can like the player, but I can be pretty concerned about the cost. I mean, he's going ahead of Will Fuller, for example. He's going ahead of, like, David Montgomery. Like, yeah, I mean, I just would be pretty, I'd be pretty off of that cost, I think, just with all the uncertainty there. Same round as, like, Julio Jones and Cortland Sutton, for example, right? You take the guys that have hit over the guys who haven't hit at the same cost, and it's just a, you know, you're upticking your hit rates by a pretty large margin. All right, turning next there to the Pittsburgh Steelers, James Conner, free agent, Juju Smith-Schuster, free agent, Ben, I think is a lesser version of we've seen. We'll see, is he back, what that whole situation looks like. I think he's probably back would be my guess. And yeah, I still think he can play, but maybe the offense looks a little bit different. You know, the running game has been a disappointment for them. It hasn't been something they've really been able to get going. Juju is a free agent, so that's notable. They keep taking day two wide receivers. It's actually something I'm going to look at, just sort of keep doubling down. It makes a lot of sense, I think. Eric Ebron, someone I'm going to be really interested in. He's going to be underpriced probably for the rest of his career just because there's other sexier things. He's tight end 22. He's like tight end 6 on the season. You just keep doing that. I mean, guys, he's behind. Logan Thomas, again, just that's incredible. That is just absolutely incredible. He's behind Logan Thomas, Adam Troutman, Rob Gronkowski, Higbee, Clement. That Clement's fine. You know, Austin Hooper, Robert Tonyan, Irv Smith Jr. I mean, he's a value by rounds. So that's just my thought on him. I think he's consistently going to be, he's like the Jared Cook of his generation. So going to consistently be a target player. Outside of that, we are looking for James Conner. You know, what's the backup situation there? That's really a scenario. Benny Snell, is he a potential week one starter? I think he's probably rostered, but take a look. Make sure just to snatch up any shares that are out there. Someone's cutting someone, you know, this week because they think, hey, it's kind of over. He's not going to be a guy. You know, you want to hold that in the offseason for sure. Just be on the monitor for it. And, you know, that's really what I think the calculus is there. I don't think there's anyone at quarterback I'm particularly interested in. Corey Davis is going to be a free agent for the Tennessee Titans. I am, you know, just in terms of arbitrage opportunities, I get that A.J. Brown was better than Corey Davis last year. Corey Davis is better than A.J. Brown. Corey Davis, just put this, just chew on this for a second. 2.76 yards per route run. Right, if you put that on someone whose name was, I don't know, not quite as beaten down as Corey Davis, you'd be like, wow, it's eye-opening. Only 11 games, some of the volume's pretty low. Again, it's a touchdown regression type thing, but he's wide receiver 28 and has missed two games. Only four touchdowns. You compare it to A.J. Brown, who's got nine. That's basically the entire difference on the season. Corey Davis, five more catches. It's within 2 yards of each other, and it's entirely touchdowns. So is that a skill? Certainly. But is on a yards per route run basis, Corey Davis has actually been better. So he hits free agency. I think he's going to be a really interesting one about, you know, he could be a really interesting uptick guy. And, you know, if it's a bigger volume situation, if it's, you know, if it's just something he gets some better variance, I'm holding my shares and I'm excited for him going forward. I do, like, he's a guy that I guess in a, that could be a improvement, right? Typically the rule is, hey, it's not first round guys that do it, that really bounce back. Well, he has bounced back. If he's not going to be back there, he has bounced back, right? He has, he's on the uptick actually entering free agency, which is kind of rare for these reclamation project types. Only 25, $10 million for Spotrac, Sammy Watkins, Adam Humphries, Tyler Boyd, and Robbie Anderson are his comps. That Robbie Anderson comp's actually pretty interesting. So that would be one that I would say, hey, you know, if he ends up someplace, like, I think the situation could be better. You know, is he go someplace as a wide receiver one? Maybe not. Does he go someplace as a wide receiver two that has more passing volume? I think that's a pretty sure bet, right? It's tough to have lower passing volume than Tennessee, but that yards per route run number is pretty massive. So that would be the thought there. Jonnu Smith is, like I said, I think I mentioned him in a different show. He's at tight end 13, seven touchdowns on the season, only 32 catches. So he's basically scored a touchdown on one out of every seven of his routes run, or of his targets. So that's a really high number and something that you shouldn't expect going forward. I'm fading him in terms of him being a big-time fantasy option. It's just he's embracing variance this year, and you should fade it. Ryan Tannehill, I'm feeling pretty confident that he is a quarterback going forward. Good set of weapons. You know, if Corey Davis is back, that's even more helpful. But I feel pretty good about Ryan Tannehill going forward. All right, well, that'll do it for AFC running back roundup. Oh, Darrington Evans, stash guy. I've seen him land up on waiver wires and that sort of thing. He's a stash guy. Definitely throw him on the back end of rosters. And, you know, I'm holding McNichols just to see what happens here down the stretch. I think McNichols, you know, if it's a potential situation for down a spot start down the stretch. I mean, you can't give that away right now, because that can really make a difference. We just go back to years ago, Tim Hightower and those sorts of things. And with COVID, right, it could open up a whole set of range of outcomes, right? And as we sit here right now, like, it's, as I'm recording this, you'll listen to this on Friday, I'm sure. But if he's a close, if somehow Derrick Henry were like a close contact, Jeremy McNichols would get Detroit this weekend, right? So that's the value of these backup running backs. I think it's worth remembering there. So that'll do it for this show. Again, go sign up for the full Analytics of Dynasty subscription package. You get 10% off, $20 off your sign up fee. You get it all too. You get the GroupMe, all the podcasts, all the written content. You get the Analytics of Dynasty 2020 edition. All of that over at analyticsofdynasty.com/shop. It's the $200 subscription. Enter the code 2021. The numbers 2021. It'll get you the 10% off, the $20 off there. It'll get you locked in for the year again with the whole thing. So the Dynasty Daily podcast in the off season, all your GroupMe access, your book, all the written content, the rookie profiles that we're going to do, all that stuff. So go ahead and go on, get that. The And this is the time too, because you can lock it in with your winnings when you get your winnings in here in the next couple weeks. Get it that it will expire on the first of the year, so or December 31st there. So, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.